Greetings, greetings once again to all my enemies and all my friends. When you may have heard the news, but stand by now for the worldview. It is the Weekly Worldview. Welcome back. It's the show where we don't take calls, we don't tolerate sponsors, but we do help focus you on the events of the week through the lens of original thought. I'm Doug McBurney, your host, joined here in studio by my extremely attractive audio engineer, as usual. Now I'm distracted. I have to look at the headlines in order to get undistracted here. I don't know if I want to start with the millennial Kennedy or the porn block in the UK. That's an interesting one. I think I'm going to start. I should start with the massacre in Poway, the synagogue massacre. It was almost a massacre. The only reason it wasn't a massacre is because someone in there was armed and shot back at this maniac. 19-year-old kid. In school, nursing school, no criminal record, goes on a rampage. I don't understand. I cannot relate. And I thought I couldn't relate to millennials. This kid's not even a millennial. He's beyond a millennial. He was born in the 2000s. I don't know what they call those. Maybe they still call them millennials. Anyway, 19 years old. How does that... I just can't comprehend. And he got shot at and he ran away, jumped in his vehicle, and then called 911 to surrender to police. And then the police came and he surrendered without incident. Well, there was definitely an incident. Maybe not at his arrest. There should have been an incident at his arrest. But anyway, I guess the last three maniacs to go on shooting rampages in houses of worship are all still alive in jail, which is disturbing. How long does it take to execute someone who so obviously killed so many people? I don't understand it. But I guess the courts are clogged up with other cases, you know. We tolerate so much crime. But all right, so it's just a horrible, horrible story. What more can you say about it? The whole world's gone mad. Society is devolving into the hands of the madmen. Anyway. All right, speaking of going mad, let's go to the third generation of Kennedys, or fourth, as far as we know. It all started with Joe Kennedy running whiskey back during the Prohibition, if any of that's true. I've heard that my whole life. I have no idea if it's true. I know he's an Irish guy with relatively few skills who became fabulously wealthy during Prohibition. So chances are Joe Kennedy was running whiskey during Prohibition. And then there was his two sons, John and Bobby. John and Bobby. And now we're on to the... And then there was Teddy, of course. Now we're on to the third generation of Kennedys, the millennial generation. We go with Representative Joe Kennedy from the 4th District in the state of Massachusetts. Was asked by a reporter, what would you say to women and girls who lose sports competitions to transgender men who say they are female? That's what they asked. So the fact that anyone is even asking that question makes me worry. The fact that that question even comes up. Well, the reason Kennedy was being asked is because Kennedy chairs the Democrats' Transgender Equality Task Force. They have a task force for transgender equality, and Kennedy is the chair. He's in charge of the whole thing. So that's why he was being asked. And Kennedy went on to, in answering, decried the fact that there were sports leagues only for women and girls. He said sports competitions must be for all human beings. Mm-hmm. All human beings, he said. Forget the boys and the girls, huh? Isn't it amazing how the millennial generation, to me, represents a complete break with reality in just one generation? Because I don't know who this punk's dad is. I don't know if it was John or Teddy or Biff or Skip. I don't know which one. Mm-hmm. But he's born in 1980, So let's see. His father is probably John or Teddy's son. So John Kennedy is probably this kid's grandfather or great uncle. And I mean, you can say what you want about John Kennedy. He clearly understood there was a difference between men and women. Nobody's ever argued with that fact. He was acutely aware of the differences. But in one generation, two generations, his family has now experienced a complete break with reality. And Representative Joe Kennedy III is the chairman of the Democrats' Transgender Equality Task Force. And by the way, while Kennedy decried sports leagues that separated women from men, he simultaneously is married to a woman. And he has two children, whom he recently maintained in public were a boy and a girl, in fact. He actually said that in public, so there you go. All right, so the break with reality isn't total, I suppose. Because even the raging heathen, like this Joe Kennedy, a raging heathen, wears a Catholic whatever, but he's a fake phony heathen. Even they, when they live their actual lives, they're in a thousand ways every day, the way they live their lives acknowledges the living God, whether they want to or not. He can rage against, I'm going to put a picture up on the website, by the way, that went along with this story. And, well, there, you can just wait for that. And then I have more stuff. I have more stuff to get to, but I want to go to Texas. I mean, not really. I actually don't want to go to Texas. It's harsh country down there. And their coastlines are, well, they leave something to be desired. Let's just leave it at that. But I like Texas. I grew up in Texas. But we're going to go to Houston, where the MD Anderson Cancer Center in Houston has ousted three scientists identified as being involved in Chinese efforts to steal American research. That's shocking that that could happen. Yes. So apparently these doctors were involved in cancer research are also working for Chinese intelligence. And there's every time something good happens, they steal it, make a copy of it, put it on a thumb drive, and it's going right back to Xi Jinping, or whatever his name is. They're spying on us, yes. Now, this is CBS out of Dallas-Fort Worth, says it's not clear if any of the Chinese doctors ousted from their research positions at MD Anderson face any federal charges or deportation. Well, we hope they will. The dismissals of these spying doctors came amid heightened concern in Washington that foreign governments, including China, have been using students and visiting scholars to pilfer intellectual property from confidential grant applications. Yeah, that's what the Chinese have been doing for about 1,000 years, I think. They've been pilfering other people's ideas. A recent FBI report, 2017, found that intellectual property theft by China cost the U.S. as much as $600 billion a year. And there is active Chinese espionage happening in all 50 states, and apparently through a lot of colleges and research facilities. Well, now, I said you can say what you want about John F. Kennedy. He knew the difference between a boy and a girl. And you can say what you want about Donald Trump. But this is the kind of thing that would have never been recognized under an Obama administration, a Clinton administration, a Bill Clinton administration. In fact, we know that it went unnoticed under the Bill Clinton administration. So Donald Trump at least getting a few things right. He's going to stop the spying and the stealing of intellectual property. And I like to give credit where credit is due, and I'm glad somebody noticed that. And I'm glad that there is now an environment in which whistleblowers can turn in Chinese spies and not worry about our own government coming down on their heads. That's one good thing. Now, so the Chinese are trying to steal research breakthroughs, technology, computer codes, formulas, whatever they're trying to steal over there at MD Anderson. They should have went to the Church of Health and Healing. That's right. I've got a story here from The Guardian in London. They say a group calling itself Genesis 2, Church of Health and Healing. They're promoting a miracle cure. And they claim they have a cure to 95% of all diseases. Nice. At which the people at MD Anderson were like, Shazam, man, we've been wasting a lot of time and money over here. The Genesis 2 Church of Health and Healing, they've got a cure for 95% of all. They call it an effective alternative healing. That's what they call it at the Genesis 2 Church. Alternative healing. Mm-hmm. So here's how you get in on it. If you've got one of the 95% of diseases that they can cure, first, you have to donate $450 each or $800 per couple. And in exchange, you receive a membership to Genesis 2 Church of Health and Healing. Mm-hmm. So you're an official member. It'd probably give you a little card, a little name badge probably. And then you receive packages of the sacraments. They call them sacraments. They refer to it as MMS or Miracle Mineral Solution. It's a miracle mineral solution is what it is. Participants are promised they will acquire the knowledge to help heal many people of this world's terrible diseases. Yeah, then they get the medicine. And the medicine, the MMS, has been analyzed by real actual medical people. And they say it actually consists of chlorine dioxide, a powerful bleach that is used in both textiles and in the industrial treatment of water. It's bleach. They're having their members drink bleach. And surprisingly enough, the FDA has issued their advice on drinking bleach. The FDA says consumers who have MMS and are drinking bleach should stop using it immediately and throw it away. But that's what the FDA would say, right? Because they're in cahoots with all the big drug companies. They want to keep the bleach out of our hands. That's, anyway, you know what this reminds me of? Saturday. This past Saturday, I had to do an event, a promotional event for one of my clients in private industry. And I spent most of the day Saturday at this event in an outdoor booth, one of those half tent looking things, you know. And right next to my table was the table of a tantric shaman, Reiki master, Yolnu Arnhem didgeridoo spirit guide, hoppy drum intermediary, yoga instructor, and certified Shoshone spiritual healer. I think I got all of his credentials there. I got to hear his pitch to prospective clients approximately 20 times. Interesting character, probably around 30 years old. Unshaven, unkempt, long-haired, the typical dirty hippie look. That dirty hippie pothead look. You know it, right? If you've ever been to Boulder, Colorado. Anyway, he had everything but the dreadlocks. Everything but the dreadlocks. He had the dirty clothing that was torn and wrinkled and shaggy and disheveled. The filthy boots, the unshaven half beard mustache attempt. It was just, and he spent the entire day, as best I can analyze it, he was trying to recruit clients to participate in any of the one of the many skills that he is able to make available to his clientele, including the didgeridoo, the hoppy drum, and the Shoshone spiritual healings that he provides, along with yoga instruction and Reiki master. What is the deal? I've only met Reiki masters. Is there only a Reiki master? Is there any, like, is there a Reiki journeyman? Or is there a white belt in Reiki? Or are they all masters? Because that makes me wonder about the whole Reiki situation if there's just masters. Everybody's a Reiki master. Anyway, his girlfriend had her hands up about 2 inches away from the back of this elderly woman's head because the woman was not feeling well and wanted to be healed. Anyway, so this fellow spent the entire day skillfully uttering words but never really saying anything of any real substance. He talked about energy and vibrations and spirits and shadows and colors, dreams, and dimensions. And then he always came back at the end of his pitch, I noticed, because I got to hear it about 20 times. He always came back at the end of the pitch to mention the fact that he could only heal those who were ready to be healed. Mm-hmm. That, see? And I asked myself, well, who was ever sick or in pain that wasn't ready to be healed? I never met anybody like that. In fact, the fact that they're coming to a certified Shoshone healer means they're ready to be healed. But I think perhaps this was the spiritual healer's way of preparing his clients for the inevitable realization that all his tantric chakra spirit therapy and vibrations, that in reality, not unlike the bleach drinkers, it just doesn't really work. When I get to lose it all, security run through the wall. View, and I'm back. Yes, thank you very much for hanging through there with that. Yeah, it was a very interesting event that I was that I attended. I was in the center table and I was surrounded by all kinds of spiritual healers, and everyone was a yoga instructor and everybody was a Reiki master. It was really interesting. And then they had belly dancers, by the way. Belly dancers, yes. And each belly dancer was over the age of 65, had a lot of tattoos, and the thinnest one was about 30 pounds overweight. And not that I have anything against that. You know, I'm struggling with my own weight loss issues. But if you're 30 pounds overweight, just don't do the belly dance, okay? And if you're over 65, I really don't want to see fresh tattoos, because that really dampens my hope for the future of civilization. So we were in the center table. There was me and a doctor and a nurse and a kickboxing instructor. We were the only sane people there. We were looking around like, what are you talking about? The kickboxer guy, jiu-jitsu, he wasn't offering any magical spiritual way of self-defense. He's going to teach you how to put someone in a headlock and rip their eyes out. Anyway, it was a very interesting Saturday, a delightful way to spend a lovely Saturday. And I got a little bit of a sunburn, too, so I really feel like winter is over. I like that. All right. Now, we're going to dig deep into the science... really? ...file, where we have... Let me scratch off the belly dancers so I don't repeat that story. That's... You know, you can't unsee that. It's really unfortunate. But let's go. No, we're not doing belly dancers. We're doing science. Really? Where we have an Oxford University professor named Dr. Yong-Hei Chi. And he has made the claim that aliens are already breeding with humans to create a new hybrid species in order to save the planet. Yes. Dr. Yong-Hei Chi is an instructor in Korean, the Korean language at Oxford's Oriental Institute. He thinks this new species will save Earth from annihilation, from climate change. So you got the alien intersection with the climate change here. I wonder how old Dr. Yong-Hei Chi is. I'm going to guess he's a millennial, but maybe not. Now, he first said that there were alien hybrids among us, likely. There was likely alien hybrids among us at a lecture back in 2012, and now he has written a book on the subject. That's the alien infiltration in order to create a hybrid race to save the planet from climate change. And now, this is from The Sun. What are the odds? The Sun in London, that's a broadsheet newspaper there. What are the odds that the same publisher is publishing Dr. Chi's book on the intersection of alien life and climate change? I think there's a possibility. I don't see any other reason this could be a news story, except that An appeal to authority often bamboozles ignorant people with short attention spans and limited intelligence, like most people. And so just the fact that Oxford University appears in the headline gives more credence to the idea that everybody knows there's aliens. It's pretty much accepted. Let's see. Dr. Chi, that's Yong Hai Chi, believes there is a correlation between climate change and alien abductions. Now, he doesn't get into the specifics on how it is the alien abductions are. Well, I guess his theory is that the aliens are having to abduct people to get information about why it is we're all destroying the planet. And so they have to abduct people. They can't just, like, intercept the satellite feed and watch the news every night. They can't just go to South by Southwest. They can't tune in there. No, they have to kidnap people from trailer parks in Georgia in order to figure out what's going on with this whole climate change situation. All right. Now, Dr. Chi, he's a doctor, by the way. He's got a DR before his name, but he doesn't have an MD after his name, which means he's not really a doctor. He's probably got a PhD in Korean literature, something like that. All right, he says he's identified four types of aliens. Small, tall and bold, scaly with snake eyes, and insect-like. And for various reasons he's not willing to go into, he believes the insect-type aliens may be in charge. They may be the ones running the show. Not the small ones. Or the tall and bold ones. I would think it would be the scaly with snake eyes. Because they would seem to be the scariest. But Dr. Chi has his logical reasons for believing or for suspecting that it is the insect type aliens that are actually in charge. They may be the ones running the simulation that the guy from Harvard talked about on the last show. Now we got Harvard and Oxford. So how could there be any debate that there's aliens? All right. Dr. Chi also believes that this hybrid project is in response to the impending demise of human civilization due to, amongst other things, of course, climate change and free enterprise and consumers and all this. Anyway, so by the time a millennial reads this and he realizes civilization is over in 12 years, we're going to have to be saved by the aliens because We're callously destroying the planet. We're killing our own Mother Earth. It's no wonder that the kids aren't turning to the shamans and the Reiki masters or grabbing an AR-15 and shooting up a building. I mean, it's all over anyways. Maybe I can relate to the millennials and beyond. Well, I hope I can. I hope I can save some of you from yourselves. Finally, from Dr. Chi, he says that he is still looking for more evidence to support his views. So I circled the word more and put a question. You're looking for more evidence, are you, Mr. Chi? Right? That's like looking for more evidence that the didgeridoo can help heal your knee. We need more evidence. Okay. So hopefully you all got that. That's it. Okay, so it's all over unless the aliens manage to figure out a way to save us. That's our only real chance. And then of course there's the fact that we're killing and destroying all the species on the planet as we go deeper and darker into the bowels of the science. Really? File. Where the French Press Association reports that up to 1 million species face extinction due to human influence. That's right. And that's according to a draft UN report, an unreport, you might say. That report painstakingly catalogs how humanity has undermined the natural resources upon which our own survival depends. So it's our free enterprise, liberty, and consumption that is going to cause us to commit mass civilizational suicide. That's what the unreport says. It's freedom, liberty, and human action. Now, they don't talk anything about the drugs, the homosexuality, and the abortion leading to a civilizational suicide. And they must have just missed that because, oh, this report was to make millennials and beyond feel terribly guilty and a lot of angst about the future. And I'm not sure why they want to do that. I'm not sure why so many people at the top stratas of our society, government, religion, media, entertainment, why are they hell-bent on scaring the kids and making them all a nervous wreck about life and guilt-ridden tropes? Not sure how to proceed. Why? What's the benefit? How does that help the kids make the money to buy your products and services? I just don't understand the motivation. Is it possible that the motivation of hating God takes precedence over making money and being earthly successful? Is that possible? I think it's possible. I think George Soros might enjoy hating God more than making billions of dollars. And that's probably only because he has already made billions of dollars. So he feels like he's got enough in the bank. And I'm not going to say this is all George Soros. There's others involved. In fact, everyone involved in the government on every planet on Earth, as far as I can tell, there may be an exception here or there. Anyway, the UN-report goes on to scare the children with the idea that the accelerating loss of clean air, drinkable water, CO2-absorbing forest, pollinating insects, protein-rich fish, and storm-blocking mangroves. It's all gone. They're all going to be gone. And they say that this mass extinction event that we're on the cusp of here, it poses no less of a threat than climate change. Now that I'll agree with. This poses no less of a threat than climate change. That I will. Indeed, they say biodiversity loss and global warming are actually linked. That's right. So you young people, you're bad in ways you didn't even know. You're so bad. Every time you buy a new pair of sneakers or download a music stream, you're destroying not only biodiversity, but you're contributing to climate change. Well, we have a quote here from Robert Watson, chair of the unmandated body that compiled the report. That's a UN mandated. So for those of you who may be new to the show, I often use the phrase UN as what do you call it when you add something at the beginning of a word? A prefix? A prefix, isn't it? I'm matriculated in the government school, so I could have that wrong. So instead of UN mandated, I have a tendency to say unmandated because I really hope so many of the things that the UN does could be undone. So Robert Watson chairs the unmandated body that compiled the report. He says we need to recognize that climate change and loss of nature are equally important. The way we produce our food and energy is undermining the regulating services that we get from nature. He calls this a transformative change. We need aliens. Call out to the aliens. Pray to the aliens. Maybe they'll come down. He goes on to, the reporters from the French Press Association go on to say that deforestation and agriculture, including livestock production, account for about a quarter of greenhouse gas emissions and have wreaked havoc on natural ecosystems. The Intergovernmental Science Policy Platform on Biodiversity and Ecosystem Services report warns of an imminent rapid acceleration in the global rate of species extinction. The pace of losses already tends to hundreds times higher than it has been ever, at least on average over the last 10 million years, which I wasn't aware that we had been measuring it for 10 million years, but apparently there was research going on that I was unaware of. The report says 500,000 to 1 million species are projected to be threatened. Threatened with extinction, I tell you. Many experts think a so-called mass extinction event, only the sixth in the last 500,000,000 years, is already underway. The last five extinction events that have happened over the last 500,000,000 years, we all know that they're well documented. Of course, we all know. And now the sixth may be underway. They are well documented. The most recent mass extinction event, they say, happened 66 million years ago, and we all know that's true. It was well documented. We have video. The researcher, Rebecca Shaw, a former member of the Unscientific Body for Climate Change and Biodiversity, says, if we're going to have a sustainable planet that provides services to communities around the world, doesn't she talk like a communist? Provide services to communities? Well, if we're going to have that, we need to change the trajectory in the next 10 years, just as we need to do with the climate. Yes, yes. So two big indirect drivers of biodiversity loss and climate change. You guessed it, the number of people in the world and their growing ability to consume. So if you're a person and you consume, shame on you. Weekly Worldview. I'm your host, Doug McBurney, and don't be scared, kids. There are reasonable adults here who can help you cope with all of this and all of that. And that's why we're here. Now we go. From there, we're going to go to the Justice File, where in the United Kingdom, the British government is about to institute a pornography block. That's right. They're going to block pornography off the internet, but only for children, you see. Now, some people would say this is a step in the right direction, and it's certainly good to reduce the ability for children to consume pornography. That is a noble effort. But let's just look into how they plan to do this, and then we will pass judgment upon them together. Britain's upcoming porn block, according to The Sun, could see websites banned for all Brits, even if they're over 18, because the system has glitches, you see. Now, the system, this new porn blocking system, implemented by the United Kingdom government, was designed to prevent minors from accessing pornographic websites. Starting July 15th, pornography websites will be required to age check users, and if they're under 18, they will be blocked. This means that Brits who want to consume pornography will have to hand over ID, proving that they're over 18 years old. Okay. Their movie regulating BBFC, which is like our film commission that gives the R rating, they've been appointed to oversee the process, and they will impose penalties on sites that do not comply with age confirmation there. So, what's the problem? Well, civil libertarians are concerned that adult Brits who want to consume their pornography may be blocked too, because all of these pornographic websites do not have effective age verification.
That's horrible.
Yes, yes, yes. No, I'm sorry. So here's what the regulators said. They said a pornography streaming service will be deemed non-compliant if they don't have effective age verification, or if they are providing extreme pornography. Okay, so the BBFC says that blocking a site is not the BBFC's objective, and it's important that we allow enough time for non-compliant sites to comply. Age verification, of course, is about preventing children, you see, from being able to easily access pornographic content online. We'd like to make it a bit more difficult, I think. It's not about restricting adults watching legal material. That's not what we're about. Because everyone on the BBF board, they're all consumers themselves, so they certainly wouldn't want to restrict themselves. So here's the problem. Here's the problem. If you're going to insist that there is the implication from the story is that extreme pornography is legal. And that's okay. So pornography should not be legal, let alone extreme pornography, whatever that is. I'm sure there's some wild, incredible, crazy stuff out there, right? And so what the British government wants to do is it wants to take a flame and put it into its bosom and assume it will not get burned. That's what they want to do. They want to put a flaming torch between their breasts and assume they will not be burned. And so the objective should not be to make it less easy for children to consume pornographic content. The objective should be to make it so that no one will produce pornographic content by making it illegal and then punishing the peddlers to the full extent of the law. That's the only way to protect children. And here's the thing, is adults need to be protected from that stuff. I know obviously children need to be protected, but so do adults. We all need to be protected from that garbage. And so your half-hearted measures, in my opinion, do more to give credibility to the idea that pornography should be legal, and therefore you are altogether unprofitable. And you should all be run out of office on a rail and probably beaten with clubs, stabbed with pitchforks, and possibly even set on fire, some of you, in the British government. So figuratively, of course, and only in a rhetorical sense, the pitchforks and the torches there being a rhetorical device that he employed to make his point. Certainly not a threat to anyone. Meanwhile, back here in the United States from the Justice File, the Department of Justice has been amassing child pornography cases against child pornographers using technology and software and web searching mechanisms that have been made for them by third parties, private companies. And they've been amassing a lot of child pornography cases because they've been catching the pornographers. But now that the cases are coming to trial, it appears that the Department of Justice is dismissing many of the cases in order to not reveal information about the software programs they've used to catch the pornographers and bring the charges. So if this isn't the ultimate non sequitur, you pay millions of dollars to a private company to develop algorithms and search tools, and you go out and you find the pornographers, then you can't charge them because then everyone's going to find out what your proprietary technology is. Does this sound like a government-funded operation? It does indeed. So basically, a number of cases that have been brought suggest serious problems with the technology, that these tools that the federal authorities have been using, and the private entities who've developed the tools will not submit them for independent inspection. And here's the thing, in a court of law, the person being accused has a right to examine your evidence. And the private companies are saying, no, you can't examine our evidence. And then they're saying, well, then we want the charges dismissed, and the government is dismissing the charges. So all you have to do is find a lawyer smart enough to pull this double talk, and you get off, even though they've got you on videotape dealing and peddling in child pornography. It's unbelievable. Let's see here. The situation suggests, this is according to Reason.com, by the way, the situation suggests some of the many problems that can arise around public-private partnerships in catching criminals and secretive digital surveillance software. Well, the problem, yeah. Is that the problem? Is it a problem of public-private partnerships? Is it a problem of secretive digital surveillance? What about some of the many problems that arise when pornography is legal and peddlers of child pornography are not executed when they're convicted? You don't have to hire a third-party company to spend $10 million building a software program. Just execute one or two or three at the most, and the child pornography problem goes away. But no, that's not what we're doing. We have decided instead to tolerate all manner of dangerous, vile wickedness that's deadly and evil. It destroys people's minds and souls, and it turns people into robbers, thieves, and killers. That's what pornography does. Pornography strips you of your humanity. It lowers you to the basest of your instincts, and it makes it much more likely that you can do something very, very evil because it animalizes you. And that's why it should be illegal. Not because it harms children. That's obvious it harms children. It's because it harms everyone. It harms all of us. It's destroying our civilization. Never before in all of human history has there been the ubiquitous on-demand availability of realistic pornography. It's never happened before. And I can assure you it's catastrophic. It is catastrophic for the future of all of mankind. Let's see here. This story, by the way, in Reason, is an extensive is a result of an extensive investigation by ProPublica. ProPublica is a pile of homosexual lawyers and child pornography consumers, in my opinion. And they are the ones who went and found more than a dozen cases since 2011 that were dismissed, either because of challenges to the software's findings. They say that the software identified the wrong person, or refusal by the government to make, to share the computer programs with the defense attorneys. So why is ProPublica out there investigating this stuff? Because if there's any way they can stop the federal government from prosecuting child porn peddlers, ProPublica is interested in knowing about that and then publicizing it. So now that all the people who've been busted for child porn and all these dragnets, now that they read the ProPublica report, now they can tell their lawyer exactly what to say so they can all get off and go back to doing what they're doing to destroy civilization. And a good, healthy number of them are members of ProPublica, in my opinion. All right. Now, meanwhile, speaking of pornography, it takes us into the domestic tranquility file, where Patricia Hill, a 69-year-old wife, is on trial now in the state of Arkansas. Because it appears that she murdered her 65-year-old husband last July. Why she killed him in July and she's only on trial now? Heaven only knows. It's ridiculous. No, it's because the justice system is so overloaded with such a massive amount of prosecutions that they literally cannot keep up. I'm convinced that many cases are dismissed simply because the government cannot find the time and the means to prosecute. And so it's almost a year later, this lady's going on trial. What happened, you see, was that she confronted him after she got their satellite TV bill. And on the bill, she realized that he had signed back into his Dish channel after she had previously canceled it, which was an indication to her that he was once again viewing pornography. Because he had agreed to cancel that channel. Well, he turned it back on, and she found out, and she flew into a rage. She went into his man cave and shot him twice, killing him, at which point he stopped watching pornography. So that was the one positive side effect, was that his consumption of pornography did come to an end. Unfortunately, though, it was at the hands of his wife. She had told him over and over again to stop watching porn, she says. And he said he would, but he went right back to doing it. And she says, I simply lost my mind. She shot him, and then she called 911, and he was rushed to the hospital and pronounced dead. So, anyway, pornography makes people crazy. It ruins relationships, and it causes distrust and suspicion. And distrust and suspicion over time can lead to murder. It can lead to people having a break with reality and flipping out and killing people. And there's an example of it right there. And you know what else it leads to? Pornography. It leads to rape and violation of other people and child molestation and homosexuality and disease and mental illness, drug addiction, alcohol abuse, and death. And eventually the whole civilization collapses in on itself and bursts into flames, as it did in Greece and Rome before us. Isn't it interesting that all our buildings in Washington, D.C. resemble the buildings of Greece and Rome? Mm-hmm. And now the piles of queers in the streets resemble the streets of Greece and Rome? It's worth noticing is all I'm saying. So we go to the Boy Scouts now. What do we have after 50 years of pornography being pumped out into first the 7-Elevens and the gas stations, and then the dirty movie stores, the dirty movie theaters, right? And then the VHS tapes, and then the DVDs, and now the internet, where it's just a fire hose of pornography in every home if you want it. What we have is the Boy Scouts of America turns into a pile of defiled homosexual child molesters. The Boy Scouts are they may release what they call their perversion files. New details, according to NBC in New York, new details have come out about how many people were listed in the Boy Scouts of America's, quote, perversion files, unquote. So that was a file obviously compiled at least 40 years ago, because you're not even allowed to call it perversion anymore. To say the perversion files would be considered a hate crime. Anyway, they say that there's a couple hundred scoutmasters who molested kids just in the New York, New Jersey area that are listed in the perversion files. One victim's rights attorney claims that the Boy Scouts have files on child abusers within their ranks dating back to the 1940s. That's why they're called the perversion files. Back in the 1940s, it was recognized that this sort of thing was, it was perverse. Not only that, it was highly unusual. It didn't happen nearly as much as it does now because there wasn't pornography being pumped into every household. But it was happening. It's always happened. We've always known that there's perverts. But if they're punished properly, they're few and far between, and they don't hurt your kids and mine. They say these perversion files reflect that they have removed thousands of offenders of childhood sexual abuse over the years, and they've kept that in the files secretly. So some of these were removed, and then eventually they started covering it up. They ended up just like the Catholics. There was so many involved that it would probably threaten the survival of the institution. And so in order to save the institution, they basically allowed the institution to become so evil that the institution obviously needs to be destroyed. That's what happened with the Boy Scouts of America. And maybe we should start a list. Do we even need to? I don't think it would even be necessary to start a list for reasons to keep your boys out of the Boy Scouts. I mean, the fact that they're letting girls in should be enough of a red flag to get or keep your kids out of the Scouts. I'm your host, Doug McBurney. Welcome back to the show that is probably the only one of maybe three shows in the world right now that call for pornography, the production and distribution of pornography, to be a capital offense. And why? Well, because of what it does to society in the long term. Let's go now to Clayton, Missouri, where we have reason number 1,190 to get or keep your children out of the government schools. Their teacher may hire a hitman to kill them. Now, this comes to us from our northernmost affiliate office there, up in the great frozen tundra, the thawing tundra, I suppose. Anyway, this was sent down to us from a listener in Alaska. And not only may your kid's teacher hire a hitman to kill him, that would be after, well, let me just read. A St. Louis teacher who is HIV positive and was accused of molesting a boy at school, in the school, has been accused now of trying to hire a hitman to kill the child and his family while the homo pervert was awaiting trial. That's right. This fellow, should I even say his name? I should, because it's a shameful story. Deontay Taylor and his accomplice and boyfriend, Michael. This is just, I can't even read this. They were working as teachers in an elementary school, and everybody knew that they were boyfriends. So there's a red flag right there. Anyway, he molested a 7-year-old student, which means it's a boy. So if it was a girl, they would have said it was a girl. But it wasn't a girl, it was a boy. Because these guys are a couple of perverted faggots who molested a little boy. This was in the Ferguson-Florissant School District, popularly known as the home of the gentle giant. What was his name? Hands up, don't shoot, and all that. Anyway, this teacher's DNA was found to be a match from DNA samples taken from the accusing student. So this guy's DNA was on the child. This guy's DNA was on the child, and it confirmed that there had been a sexual assault. While he was behind bars awaiting trial, he tried to hire a hitman to kill the child and his family. And last we checked, Black Lives Matter are saying that they assume that the hitman was Officer Darren Wilson, as far as they... That's their working theory anyways, over there at Black Lives Matter. By the way, and it really doesn't matter. The teacher happens to be a black guy, but that's not even really worth mentioning, really, because he's such a deranged, evil, perverted, vile cretin who should be dispatched into eternity with extreme prejudice as a child molesting homosexual pervert. All right. Reason number 1190. update real quickly. Should I do this? Yes, let's update real quickly from the Real Religion file. Reverend Ramon Rigal and his wife, Ida, you remember they were detained in Guantanamo last week in Cuba. They were basically kidnapped by the Cuban government for homeschooling their kids. They were. It's been revealed now that we didn't know where they were last week. They were the disappeared last week. Well, apparently they were given 30 minutes notice before a trial began on April 18th, and they have been sentenced to 2 years imprisonment for defying the communist, satanic, atheist government's commands that the government should educate their children. The prosecutor in the case indicated that education at home is not permitted in Cuba because it has a capitalist foundation. Okay. Reverend Rigal, has stated his desire to homeschool his children stems from his concern as a Christian about the role of Cuban schools in indoctrinating children in socialism and atheism. And Mr. Rigal's advice could go out to all of you Americans as well. You should be concerned about the schools indoctrinating your children in socialism and atheism. You should be very concerned about that. Well, fortunately, we can homeschool our kids in this country without being thrown in jail, at least for now. Anyway, there's a whole movement over there. One lawyer says, we're deeply concerned by the summary trial of Ramon and Ida and the prospect that both of them may be facing significant jail time, leaving their children in the hands of the Cuban government. So when the Cuban government threw this couple in jail, they took their children. Where are all the liberals screaming about family separation, about this story? These two have been thrown in prison for nothing more than wanting to educate their children, and now the very people who convicted them in a kangaroo court have taken their children. If ProPublica and the Southern Poverty Law Center and the Catholic Charities, if they weren't all a bunch of hypocrite, lying perverts, they'd be marching in the streets for Reverend Ramon Rigal and his wife Ida and the family separation that just occurred in Cuba. But they don't care because they are lying hypocrites and perverts. All right. Update on the Easter massacre. Most of the bombers involved in the Easter massacre in Sri Lanka were well-educated, come from economically strong families, and some of them even studied abroad. One of them even went to law school in the United Kingdom. Two of the bombers were brothers, sons of a wealthy spice trader and a pillar of the business community. They suspect that this preacher, Zahran, who's a Tamil-speaking preacher from the east of the Indian Ocean island country, may have been the mastermind behind the Easter massacre and then the subsequent gunfight and bombing that occurred this past week. This guy, Zahran, is well known for his militant views and fiery Facebook posts calling on Muslims to rise up. The government suspects two Sri Lankan Islamist groups, the National Tawhid Jama'ut, and then there is, of course, the Jamiyatul Millatu Ibrahim, none of which have the initials KKK in there. So it is apparent that this was not carried out by white supremacists, as I had predicted. Now, we go from Sri Lanka back across the Pacific into California, where we discover reason number 1,191, to get or keep your children out of the government schools. The California State Senate has voted to ban schools and principals from suspending students for willful defiance. So in the past, willful defiance has been a category of misbehavior that would warrant the severest of punishments, which in California is kicking you out of school. That's because the people in California are all insane, and they think that kicking a kid out of school who doesn't want to be in school is a good way to punish the kid, which is obviously mentally deranged. But what is willful defiance, by the way? Do I need to define that? I probably do. I mean, we all matriculate in the government schools. We all could use a little help. Willful defiance is when the kid literally shakes his fist and defies right face to face, not even trying to hide it, publicly, openly, with his furrowed brow and his fist in the air, saying, "No, I won't do what you just told me to do." Well, on a Democratic vote of 30-8, the state school assembly, the student council there in California, who's actually running the state, voted 30-8 to stop punishing kids for willful defiance because, well, it's just, I can't even imagine why. They've all lost their minds. The law would apply to both public and charter schools. That's funny. Charter schools are public schools. There's not a both there. They should just say, I mean, that's obviously designed to imply that there's some sort of difference, but let's leave that aside. Students could still be suspended or expelled for other acts, including threatening violence, bringing a weapon or drugs to school, damaging school property, killing or raping or assaulting someone. They may be suspended. Could be. It's not guaranteed. And the state senate next year may vote that if you kill someone, we have to have a review before we can punish you. As part of the new bill that's winding its way through the pile of perverts in Sacramento at the Capitol, superintendents or principals would be asked to provide alternatives to suspension or expulsion that are age appropriate and designed to address and correct the pupil's specific misbehavior. Okay. So this is why the government should not be educating children. Because instead of establishing discipline early on within a family unit and respect and love and all of that, from which you can build a fabulous educational environment, instead the government ends up talking like a bunch of lawyers. We need to age-appropriate punishments designed to address and correct specific misbehavior. They probably have books, volumes, on how teachers are supposed to respond to students in any given situation. There's probably tens of thousands of pages of rules and regulations on how teachers and students are supposed to interact. And that's because it's all inappropriate, and it builds it. The problems build upon themselves until you've got this cumbersome system that's, well, Lord willing, it all will collapse at some point. And here's the kicker. Back to the Black Lives Matter. Research has shown that the category of willful defiance was disproportionately used to discipline minority students. Was it the Asian students? No. No, it was the African-American students who were categorized as to be found in willful defiance. And it's all just a big, fat lie. Just pathetic. Hey, I don't care if you're white, black, brown, yellow, red, whatever. Get your kids out of the government schools. You can do a better job of teaching your kids, and you don't need a manual. And by the way, you can eliminate willful defiance before they're a year old. That whole problem goes away. Any of you young parents, if you need advice on that, just get in touch. I'll tell you how to do it. It's easy. All right. Now, meanwhile, we're coming up to the end here. What do I want to do? I want to cover this story because I covered this a long time ago and it's still going on. The French Council of State upheld last week the decision of a hospital in France to remove food and water from Vincent Lambert, the 42-year-old man in a vegetative state for 10 years. His parents want to take care of him. The government and the hospital have decided to kill him. Immediately after the council made its ruling, Lambert's parents announced their intention to file an appeal before the European Court of Human Rights. His parents have appealed every which way they can to the UN-International Committee for the Protection of the Rights of Persons with Disabilities. Vincent Lambert suffered severe brain damage in an accident. He's been hospitalized ever since. He's not terminally ill. He breathes on his own, and his internal organs function normally. The Lambert case has become the symbol of the debate on the end-of-life issues in France, likened to that of Terry Schiavo, who was murdered by the state of Florida and by George W. Bush and by the Republican Supreme Court in 2005. In both cases, it was the spouse that wanted to kill the person so they could get on with their life. And it was the parents who wanted to fight for the life of their child. And in both cases, at least so far, the governments and the healthcare facilities have determined to act in willful defiance and to kill these people against the wishes of their family, which is one of the worst, most horrible, heart-wrenching, just, it breaks my heart to see this happening. It coarsens the culture and makes it even, it just makes it easier and easier to accept death. And more to the point, to accept killing, to accept murder as a solution to a problem. Well, and that actually brings me to an economics story. The Washington Post had a big write-up on how the U.S. Chamber of Commerce and the Donald Trump administration disagree on legal immigration, HS1B and 2B, 3V visas and all that. They disagree. Well, the Chamber of Commerce says they advocate for expanding the rate of legal immigration. Why? They say the fundamental issue, the U.S. Chamber of Commerce says, quote, the fundamental issue is that the United States of America is out of people, unquote. We have the lowest unemployment we've had in 65 years. We've brought more people back into the workplace than ever before, and still we have the lowest unemployment. People are, unquote. So companies are having a harder and harder time finding workers, employees, to do the things that the companies need done to serve our fellow man. They're having a hard time finding people. And that's why, that's really at the heart of the H-1-2-VB visa program, because we don't have enough people. Are we really out of people? Could that be possible? Well, just walk with me on this. So we've murdered approximately 60 million of my generation and the generations going forward since legalized child killing. Let's say half of those 60 million had gotten married and had two kids. That's 15 million couples. That's another 30 million kids. That's 90 million people. Let's say half of those 30 million kids got married and had two kids. There's another 7.5 million couples. There's another 15 million kids. So we've easily suffered a loss of somewhere between 1 and 200 million people. Somewhere between 100 and 200 million people do not exist who would have existed. You can't tell me that that doesn't affect a nation. That doesn't affect a civilization. To choke off 200 million people who would have been here? I think we are out of people. We're at least out of good, decent people. We're running out of God-fearing people. But not around here at the Weekly Worldview. We fear God, and as for me and my house, we shall follow the Lord. I want to thank you for tuning in. I want to thank my friends at KGOV.com and RealScienceRadio.com, at AmericanRightToLife.com, and of course my other brother Daryl, who makes it all happen. Here at the Weekly Worldview, should the Lord tarry, we will return. And until then, may the grace of God go with you, and may the peace of Jesus Christ be upon you.